Welcome to the Gabriel Method Seminar Archives. This program contains a collection of recordings, interviews, and public talks given by John Gabriel about the Gabriel Method, the diet-free way to totally transform your body. Since many of these talks were recorded live, there are moments when the recording quality is less than perfect. We appreciate your understanding.
What about detoxifying to get rid of your body? To get rid of the toxins in your body. There's pros and cons to detoxifying. Detoxifying usually involves some sort of diet where you're forcing yourself not to eat certain foods. That's going to activate your fat program to cause a rebound effect. The detoxification is going to benefit you though and help you lose weight. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. What I recommend is not to do that in the beginning. What I recommend is to eat as much or add as much organic food as possible, so it'll have less toxins. Add as much live food because it'll have a detoxifying effect. And the number one best detoxifying live food, vital food that you can possibly have, hands down, is freshly squeezed live wheatgrass juice. Yeah. Oohs and ahs. I'm sorry, we're passing around the microphone. Just let me see. Lots of oohs and ahs on the wheatgrass juice. What's that? What about the capsules? Okay, because we're still on the wheatgrass, we'll come back to you after that. They're not bad because they have nutrients, but there's a certain component of food that we're all missing, which is life force vitality. What happens is the sun, there's chlorophyll in grass, and chlorophyll takes captured sunlight and converts it into protein, protein, carbohydrates, and fats. And then a cow eats that and gets their essential nutrients, and then we eat the cow. We cook the cow, and all that live sunlight that we captured is gone. And there was a time when a lot of our food was live, even the meat was live. Is this, which one is this? I have to say which one. Oh, good.
This fast food.
Beautiful. That was good. You went from that one. I'll taste the other ones, but that was good. There was a time when almost all our food was live, even the meat. You know, thousands of years ago, we'd kill an animal, and we'd eat it fresh. We'd eat it live, we'd eat fish live. Yeah, everything had life force vitality. Nothing has life force in it anymore. And they're doing a lot of, look, we can't see life. We can't see life force, right? There could be a dead person and a live person next to each other. We can't see the difference. But there is a difference, and we all know that. And that same difference is in our food. Our food, live food, you can't compare live food to dead. So you want to add as much live food as possible. And they've done studies where they've discovered live food has some sort of what they call biophotons that interact with the cell and help organize the DNA and all these other things. The bottom line is it's nourishing us. And our body's going to stay hungry and hungry if we're not nourishing our body.
John?
Yes?
Over here.
Okay, so let me just finish on the wheatgrass. So having live wheatgrass is infinitely better than having powdered or tablets. And what we always try to do is we come up with some nutrient, a phytonutrients. Give me smaller portions. Because this is a witness. Well, you go. Okay. Go. Well, they're made differently, so I have to just. Yeah, so I just want to finish with the wheatgrass thoughts. With the wheatgrass, there's a couple of different ways to get wheatgrass. You can grow it yourself. I just visited a friend of mine in Canberra. He's got a whole factory now where he grows it. And I have a video on how to grow it. Then I'll put, then you email my office, they'll give you a link to it to just look at. It's a, you know, 3-5 minute video, whatever it is. Eventually it's going to be on the website. So you can grow it. Or you can go to a health food store that already grows wheatgrass and say that, and tell them that you want to buy like 3 trays a week or something like that. You cut it, you juice it. There's two ways to juice it. One is with a handheld juicer that probably costs... Beautiful. This is good. This is yellow. With a handheld juicer, it's about $80, or I think a champion, no, not champion, compact juicer is about $250, $260. It's the best money you'll ever spend in your life, because when you get a shot of wheatgrass, you just feel you're just not hungry. Like your total hunger level changes. Everything, your energy levels change. You feel nourished. The energy goes right into the perfect. A little more xylitol now. Let's hack that wheatgrass is first thing in the morning. Okay, Jack, we're passing around the microphone. The other thing I want to mention. Okay. You know, the other thing I want to mention, what you're eating right now, is it's got besides fruit and protein and omega-3s, it also has a sweetener called xylitol. Okay. It's hard to hear. My microphone on? Okay, can you hear me now? Okay. It also has a sweetener called xylitol. And xylitol is the sweetener that I recommend using. Everybody asks about stevia. I don't like the taste of stevia. It's gross. Yeah, but xylitol tastes really good. It's a natural sweetener. You don't want to use artificial sweeteners, because artificial sweeteners can activate the fat programs. What they do is they're called a chemical excitotoxin. It actually interacts with a part of your brain that causes your body to stop listening to the hormone leptin that activates the fat programs. So, there are other artificial ingredients that also activate the fat programs. For example, MSG, flavor enhancer, which is also called flavor enhancer 621, and it's called monosodium glutamate and hydrolyzed vegetable protein. All of these things have MSG. They're flavor enhancers in almost all of our food. MSG activates the fat programs. Did you know that? When biochemical researchers want to study obesity, they have to make a rat fat. Rats don't come fat, so they have to make them fat. The way to make a rat fat is to feed them MSG. There's even a term called MSG obesity-induced mice, if you look it up. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows that that's how you make someone fat. And no one's talking about it. And it's in all of our food. So that's why, as much as possible, you want to get back to real food. At least, at the very least, add it. Don't turn it into a diet, but add real food. Is that working for you guys? You guys have it? It's nice? Okay, hold on one second, because we've got this question and question here. Go ahead.
Okay. What do you do when you feel like you've been yo-yo dieting and you've made your body so sensitive that even like good food like brown rice and like you have more than a couple of bits of fruit a day and you just like all of a sudden you're like a kilo heavier at the end of the week?
Oh, all of a sudden what?
You're like a kilo heavier, like you're actually just eating good food,
yeah.
But your body's even sensitive to like good carbs, like a little bit of brown rice or...
Yeah. Okay, let me answer that question. It's a really good question. The question is that if you've been on the real question is if you've been on a diet, you go, oh, lose weight without dieting, I can eat whatever I want. Guess what? Because as I said before, dieting is a little bit like holding a volleyball underwater. The minute you let it go, it pops back up. So if you're artificially causing your body to be lower than it wants to be, and you go back to eating whatever you want, you'll have a rebound with that. So if you're forcing yourself to be thinner than it wants to be through dieting, what I recommend is you don't make too many changes. Stick with what you're doing for a few months, but always make sure you add, wherever you can, omega-3 fatty acids and live food and protein. As much as you can, just add that, make that, incorporate that into your program. But don't go into it, I can eat whatever I want type of thing, because you will have a rebound. Eventually, As you nourish your body and as you deal with the stresses in your life and your set point shifts, you'll meet in the middle. And then it won't be an effort anymore. So there's got to be a two-month transition period for people that are in that situation. You had a question?
When I went actually into the health shop and I asked for whey protein, which had like a goat milk,
Yeah. They
just looked at me as though I was stupid and they said, you can only ever get that in cow's milk.
It is very tough finding in Australia to get goat's milk whey protein. So, I used cow's milk.
Choose the cow's milk.
It's very tough. There's a question.
Okay,
go ahead and let me have a question.
I find wheatgrass less than pleasant.
Yeah.
May one add something to it to make it more palatable? I just find it flat.
Okay, there's a couple of things about that. Are you making the wheatgrass yourself or you're buying it like a boost juice or something?
No, I have a friend who makes it and I buy occasional trays of them.
Yeah.
I've really tried, John.
But
I grew up on a dairy farm and I saw what cows did with wheat grass.
Yeah. Well, look how big and strong cows are. You know? If you just need the thing about wheatgrass, the reason why if you juice it fresh and drink it straight away, it tastes infinitely better than if you let it sit even a couple of minutes. And when you buy wheatgrass at a boost juice or something like that, sometimes they've juiced it in the morning and it just tastes horrible, or they've cut the grass and they put it in the fridge and then they juice it and it's dying. It doesn't have that life force in it. If you juice it fast, drink it right away, it tastes infinitely better. But the reason why it tastes bad, and sometimes people even get nauseous, is a very, very powerful detoxifier. It detoxifies your body. And you're actually getting nauseous on your own toxins. So don't blame the messenger. Don't blame the wheatgrass. Because I can't recommend anything higher than wheatgrass. It's going to give you, but it's going to give your system vitality and nourish you. But you can put it in juice or something like that. Over time, you'll find that it actually tastes sweet once the toxins are removed from your system.
One of the things that I've noticed that was helpful to me was a cleansing fast. Okay, and I cleansed out a lot of stuff, but when I went off that fast, it was, I'd say, worse than before.
Okay, we were talking about toxins. Okay, and what I was saying about toxins is a dual-edged sword, because one of the reasons, or not toxins, fasting rather. Fasting is a dual-edged sword because fasting is great because it detoxifies your body. And one of the reasons why your body stores fat or activates these fat programs is actually to protect you against toxins because we take in so many toxins. And so fasting is a great way to detoxify. But fasting can also activate your fat programs because it's a famine and it causes the same type of stress as a famine, and it causes the same chemistry as a famine, and that activates your fat programs. And what it does, what any type of dieting or famining or famines or dieting or restriction, what it does, that type of chemistry, when your fat programs get activated, not only does it make you hungrier and slow your metabolism and all this stuff, it actually shifts your set point. And what the set point, are you familiar with the term set point? What's that? Yeah. Yeah, the set point is the notion that your body has an ideal weight that it wants to be, like 180 pounds. And it's going to defend that weight. So if your body wants to be 180 pounds and you're 190 pounds, you're just going to be less hungry and your metabolism is going to speed up. You're going to have more energy and you're going to lose weight until you get to 180 pounds. But let's say you force yourself to go down to 160 pounds. The exact opposite's going to happen. You're going to be tired all the time. You're going to be craving fattening foods. You're going to be hungry all the time. Your metabolism's going to slow. It's going to force you to gain weight until you get back to 180 pounds. So your body has this idea that you need to be a certain weight, and it'll defend that. But what I discovered in my research and through my own experience is that that weight's not written in stone. That's a, your set point is something that shifts based on the stresses in your life. And again, if you look at it from the genetic programming that we inherited, you can look at different living environments that we lived in throughout time and why your body would want to be one way versus the other. So let's imagine that we lived thousands of years ago outdoors and it was a long winter and there wasn't much to eat. So that's stressful to your body because you're not getting enough to eat and it's cold all the time. That's causing chemistry that's activating your fat programs. So your body's going to want to gain weight, but there's not much food around. But what's going to happen is if your set point was 180 pounds, after you get through that winter, your body's going to say, we need to shift our set point to 190 pounds. We need to always carry an extra 10 pounds of weight on us because there's famines out there. And we don't know when the next famine's going to come. And we need that extra 10 pounds just as insurance to make it through the next famine. So if you're living in that type of environment, your set point's going to shift toward heavier. Now, there's other living environments where your body would want to shift your set point toward lower. Let's imagine that you lived in some sort of tropical paradise where there's plenty of food to eat. There's mangoes, there's fish, there's game. Anytime you wanted any type of food, it's always there. And it's warm all the time. So you no longer have that stress of famine and cold weather. So your fat programs aren't activated. So your body's going to allow you to be a little bit thinner. And let's take it one step further. Let's imagine in this tropical paradise that we're talking about that there's wild tigers. And every once in a while, a tiger comes out of nowhere and chases you. And you've got to sprint. And if you're not as fast as possible, you're dead. That's a different type of stress. Not like a famine stress, and it causes different chemistry. That type of stress, I call that the get thin or get eaten stress, that type of stress activates a different program in your body that says, we need to be thin or we're dead. And so what happens is your set point shifts. It'll say, we don't need to be 180 pounds, we need to be 160. And so your body will go down to 160 and defend that weight. So we have this programming where your body's always adapting to your living environment depending on what the stress is. And it's always shifting its set point. Now, if you want to lose weight on a sustainable way and keep it off, you've got to be able to shift your set point, not just force yourself to lose weight. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at where we're living in the city, you have a lot of stress.
Well, what's interesting about stress, James, is that sometimes, and it's always baffled scientists, is that sometimes stress causes people to gain weight and sometimes stress causes people to lose weight. And the same stress might make one person fat and another person skinny. And the reason is, it's not the stress per se, but it's the way your body's interpreting the stress.
So we've dealt with how to get more fit, how to deal with the physical things that turn on the fat programs. By adding the foods your body's starving for, right? There's three things, right? Does everybody have those three things? What are those three things? Right? That's right. Omega-3s, protein, line food. By adding those foods whenever possible. By getting checked for sleep apnea. Eating fermented foods, which are good, which have probiotics in them. Okay? Also, drinking lots of water. It's really important to drink water because dehydration activates the fat programs, it's a form of starvation. Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. You're oohing and aahing on everything I say, so. You relate to it all. Okay, there's something else about water. When your body's burning fat, when it wants to be thinner, there are times when you're going to be insatiably thirsty. You've got to drink that water. And the reason is because when you burn fat, you release the toxins. The water flushes out the toxins. If you don't drink enough water, your body's not going to burn the fat. And so I recommend drinking a couple of glasses in the morning, a glass before you eat. Also, it's a good idea to try to eat slowly and consciously as much as possible. And drinking water at night. And people say to me, I drink water at night, I have to go to the bathroom. And that's true, but what you're eliminating is the fat that you're burning. And remember I said before in the beginning, when your fat programs are on, Your body loses the ability to burn fat efficiently. Well, the best chance you have of burning fat in the beginning is at nighttime. And that's if you've eaten most of your food during the day and you haven't eaten before you go to sleep. Because if you don't eat a couple hours before you go to sleep, your insulin levels lower. And then while you sleep, you're burning fat. But if you eat right before you go to sleep, your insulin levels stay elevated and you make fat all night. So you can eat the same amount. And if you just ate it during the day, you lose fat weight. And if you eat it at night, you're going to gain weight. It's not just about calories in, calories out. It's about the chemistry of what creates, what makes fat and what burns fat. So by eating more breakfast during the day, eating a big breakfast keeps your blood sugar stable. Eating frequently during the day, especially around 11 o'clock and 4 o'clock, having some sort of live snack to keep your blood sugar stable, having an early dinner, then drinking a lot of water at night. Yes, you'll wake up and go to the bathroom, but you know what? You're going to be eliminating fat. And so you have to decide if it's worth it or not. But that's what you're going to be doing.
This program, in its entirety, is owned by the Gabriel Method Pty Limited and is protected under international copyright law. Kindly do not reproduce, copy, or use these contents for anything other than personal use without written permission.